Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. A Death in the Family. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
We talk about many unsolved mysteries on this podcast, cases that have stayed with me for years. Sometimes they're solved eventually, other times they remain a mystery. But today's case is kind of both, believe it or not. A bizarre circumstance whose evidence-based theories are even crazier than the conspiracies that surround it. And I should warn you, some of this case will get a bit graphic, so listener discretion is advised. Missing organs, illicit affairs, all surround a shocking death. This is a case known as El Misterio de los Primos, or the Mystery of the Cousins. On Saturday, April 16, 1989, a woman named Donna Noemi smelled something strange. She was the owner and the landlord at 3354 Mello Street in the Villa Martelli neighborhood of Buenos Aires, and loved her tight-knit, safe apartment complex. But now in the apartment's cozy confines, she was smelling the pungent, raw odor of natural gas. Doing the responsible thing, Noemi shut everything off and called the gas company. It was a hot summer in the city, the woman reasoned. The extreme heat might stress the pipes in the older complex. Soon after Noemi made the call, two technicians arrived and inspected Noemi's apartment, finding nothing wrong. But clearly something was going on. So they went to the downstairs apartment. They knocked three times on the door and nobody answered. With nobody responding from inside, the technicians gained access to the unit with Noemi's keys and scanned the apartment for the source of the leak. At that point, they also started to smell something other than natural gas. More rancid. Perhaps dangerous. So the technicians dug deeper. At first, they found nothing, just scattered clothes and food scraps around the apartment. The pipes themselves in the apartment looked pristine. But the stench grew worse once they approached the bathroom. Inside, they would find a scene that would haunt them for years to come. The bathtub was filled with dark red water, and two badly decomposed bodies were sitting opposite each other, as if taking a bath. One of them was completely naked. The other was wearing only a dark sweater. Near the bathroom, the technician came across a gas heater that was still on and emitting heat, so they turned it off, opened the windows, and called the police. The first officers who arrived understood that something was extremely wrong, so they called for backup. As the police presence grew in the vicinity of the building, more and more people started to gather on the street, filled with curiosity and concern. Though I'm sure their imaginations were running wild, onlookers couldn't have imagined what was happening inside. The bodies of the two victims were covered in worms and insects and were in a state of advanced decay, as if they had been dead for weeks. It was so bad the bodies themselves could hardly be removed. One of the officers threw up in the hallway. Another would later say that the bodies were in such a bad state that they looked worse than the bodies he'd found in rivers, submerged in murky water for months and months at a time. The bodies were identified as that of 15-year-old Gloria Fernandez and her cousin, 22-year-old Irma Beatriz Giron, who lived in the apartment. The investigators found themselves in a difficult situation because while trying to retrace the events leading up to the incident, they realized that while the bodies were seemingly grotesquely decayed, the two women had been seen alive and well mere days before. Fernandez talked to her parents Thursday afternoon, just 3 days before her body was found, mentioning her plans to stay with her cousin for a couple of days. Donna Noemi had also spotted the two of them and said hello. As police asked around for information, one individual would come forward giving investigators an incredibly interesting and infuriating piece of information. It was a man named Arnaldo Bresciani, one of the doctors at the nearby Vicente López Hospital. As it turned out, on a Thursday, April 13th at 10:45 a.m., Giron had made a call to the hospital saying her cousin was not feeling well and asking if they could send an ambulance over. Giron told the emergency dispatch at the hospital that her cousin had suddenly become ill after breakfast. Dr. Bresciani was on call that day and arrived at their home in an ambulance, finding Fernandez lying on the sofa in Giron's living room. Bresciani said it wasn't too serious at all and diagnosed Fernandez with a mild fever and prescribed her a fever and pain reliever called Molten, which he instructed to take every 6 hours. Before leaving, the doctor also suggested taking a relaxing bath. Apart from one of them feeling sick, Bresciani told investigators, he noticed nothing else unusual. Of course, press was having a field day with the evolving case. A couple young victims found naked in a bathtub. Press speculated that it was some kind of suicide pact, accidental electrocution, or an incestuous lesbian affair, or some mix of all of the above. But that was also inaccurate. But that was just the beginning. Digging into the girls' lives, press soon learned that Giron had been the mistress of a 30-year-old married man named Luis, and the apartment was being used as their secret love nest. Giron's boyfriend, married boyfriend, assured the police that he didn't have a key to the apartment, but that was suspicious enough for law enforcement, and Luis became suspect number one. Meanwhile, the crime scene was cleaned and the apartment thoroughly disinfected and sealed. But even after 10 days, no cause of death could be determined. There were no signs of firearms, no sharp objects, or struggle-related injuries, no carbon monoxide emissions in their systems, and no obvious foul play, though collecting anything from the bodies was, of course, extremely challenging. A small wound was found on Giron's neck, but experts concluded that it had nothing to do with her death. After the apartment had been scrubbed clean and again tightly sealed, an investigator went back in to see if he had missed anything at all. What he found in the bathroom's tub, again after being drained and sanitized post-crime scene processing, was a new and puzzling and horrible sight. Dark water filled the tub at an almost overflowing state, and more insects and worms were again everywhere. It was like a horror movie, and perhaps most disturbingly, the police had no idea what to make of it. At first, investigators considered the possibility that stronger chemicals, like cleaning products, could have caused some kind of blockage that had somehow been unblocked, but that seemed highly unlikely. Their next theory was a bit darker. Wondered if the girls were murdered. Maybe the perpetrator came back to the apartment and messed with it as some kind of sick joke. A local forensic expert named Andres Barrio Canal took it one step further. He had heard of cases like this, with decaying bodies and no overt cause of death. In these cases, he reasoned, the perpetrators sought revenge in a particularly chilling way. So Jason, let me ask you, what do you know about poisonous snakes?
That I'm scared of them.
Very scared of them.
Yeah.
Very, very terrifying.
I know that's, you're surprised to hear me say that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I'm fearless, generally.
I'm generally fearless. Mm-hmm. That's the one chink in my armor,
mm-hmm.
Is I'm scared of poisonous snakes.
You're like Indiana Jones. Doesn't like them.
Yeah. Mostly just the hat.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you're not alone. And snake venom, particularly the venom of the black mamba, is one of the most dangerous substances in the world. The neurotoxins in the venom act within 10 minutes, causing paralysis and ultimately the cessation of the respiratory muscles, leading, of course, to death. One bite can cause collapse in humans within 45 minutes, and without appropriate anti-venom treatment, death typically occurs within 7 to 15 hours. Apart from initial symptoms like vomiting, cramping, diarrhea, and sweating, early neurological signs include blurred vision, slurred speech, difficulty swallowing, vertigo, and the inability to move facial muscles. But perhaps most important to this theory is a certain fact about the black mamba venom. You see, when the venom of the black mamba kills something, or someone, the venom accelerates the decomposition process to the extreme. Barrio Canal's theory might have seemed out there, but in some ways it made sense. And the press, well, they ran with it. More after this break.
I love devouring a thriller alone at night, just letting my imagination run wild. Well, I definitely got what I wished for when I dug into Run on Red by Noelle W. Eiley. Oof. The viral suspense thriller that killed it, not literally, on BookTok is now available to you as a deluxe special edition with gorgeous stenciled edges and a beautiful foiled cover. Talk about a vibe, my friends. Run on Red is a survival thriller about two women driving down a remote country road when they realize they're being followed. They don't have any cell signal and there's no way to escape. What starts as panicked road rage becomes something far more terrifying. As you might imagine, I consume a lot of thriller content on TV, online, and of course, getting cozied up with a good book is maybe my favorite. But sometimes thrillers can be so, I don't know, corny. Many don't give me that satisfying setup or the scare factor that I crave, but Run on Red isn't like that. It's grounded with a good pace, the kind of scenario that catches my attention and makes me a little nervous, but like not nervous enough to stop reading late at night, you know? Ugh, I love it. If you're a fan of Freda McFadden, Karen Slaughter, or John Mars, this is absolutely your jam. Run on Red by Noelle W. Eiley is available February 24th, so be sure to add it to your online cart, your big ol' reading to-dos, and eventually your favorite book list. So get under a blanket, get comfy, and keep those lights on just in case, because you're going to love Run on Red.
The case gained nationwide attention, and of course, the Black Mamba theory made headlines. The death of the women, often referred to as the Black Mamba murders, even before any conclusions were officially drawn. With all the controversy surrounding the case, a criminal expert conducted a new autopsy with specific focus on the hearts of the two women. Well, one girl, one woman, because the Black Mamba's venom contains cardiotoxic components too, meaning it often attacks the heart muscle. Perhaps the autopsy, with this new theory, might uncover some new answers. But then the case takes another wild turn, because, wait for it, the victims' hearts vanished without a trace. Jason, I'm checking in with you. What are you thinking? What are your theories about the case right now?
I mean, it sounds like the boyfriend did it.
The married boyfriend,
yeah. Uh-huh. It seems like that's where it was going down, and that's where it's going to end.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I also, as I was like doing research for this too, I mean, just the police and like what was happening, like the sealing and unsealing, like as many cases that we talk about, where it's like, well, with a police force that's not super seasoned in deaths like this, especially ones that are obviously very complicated, it feels like it's almost like the crime scene is doomed because they're going to do something to it.
And they just want, I mean, they just want to close these cases, right?
Mm-hmm. And this would be a simple one to close. They could say, you know, an electrocution or something. It doesn't seem to matter. They just want to like close the book on it. Well, back to the no hearts in the bodies. Despite extensive search of the morgue, the organs were never found. So what happened to the hearts? Well, to this day, nobody knows what happened to these people's hearts. They might have been lost during the transfer of the bodies to the morgue after the autopsy, or something happened. Some investigators claim that in attempting to preserve the bodies, police officers placed the hearts into jars without using the proper chemicals. When they noticed their mistake, they quickly disposed of the organs. As the days went on, even more strange details emerged in this, of course, exceedingly bizarre case. The owner of the apartment shared what she knew about Giron's relationship, that Luis, Giron's married boyfriend, was 30, and that he spent several days a week at her place. And, get this, that he worked in a veterinary clinic. A veterinary clinic that kept snakes. Perhaps you were right.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Or it's just very, 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 very coincidental.
Very convenient. Yeah. Right? Very, very convenient. There's a lot of things that are kind of lining up. Moving in this direction, Luis was quickly arrested in his home right in front of his wife, who found out about his infidelity right there in real time. Terrified, he confessed to visiting Giron's apartment that Sunday morning. He claimed he knocked several times and he even tried to call her name through one of the windows, but because he didn't get an answer, he just left. With no concrete evidence against him, however, they had to let Luis go, and the case again stalled. So the authorities did yet another autopsy of the body. They didn't have the hearts, so they focused on what they did have, the bones. Petey hired renowned experts to help with this one, focusing on bone composition above all. Surprisingly, this autopsy did find a cause of death for the two victims. Any ideas what that may have been, perhaps?
Is it like carbon monoxide in the air?
Precisely. So that happens to a lot of people who are in mysterious deaths. But on this third autopsy, they finally found out that the cause of death of Gloria Fernandez and Irma Beatriz Giron was, in fact, carbon monoxide poisoning. Authorities concluded that the two had carbon monoxide poisoning by finding carboxyhemoglobin in the victim's bone marrow. Carbon monoxide may have been emitted by the gas heater found in the bathroom, investigators believed, and the two had not been alerted to the excess gas in the apartment. The investigators went on to believe that Fernandez, who was already unwell, may have shown initial symptoms of poisoning while following the doctor's advice and taking a bath. Perhaps Giron entered the bathroom to assist her cousin and herself was poisoned. So why did this cause of death come out of nowhere after carbon monoxide poisoning was, at first, determined perhaps to be ruled out of the victim's cause of death? Well, since the gas company employees had shut off the service for the entire house, for the entire apartment complex, the leak itself hadn't been mentioned in the police reports. The autopsy, therefore, did not consider carbon monoxide in looking for a cause of death. So if that's what actually happened to the victims, What about the bathtub being filled with dark water and bugs filling the area 10 days after the scene was sealed and cleared? Well, get ready for a disturbing detail. Some investigators believe the tap was still leaking a little bit after it was turned off, and the drain pipe may have been clogged with human remains, which allowed cadaverous fauna to quickly appear again. Really, you might ask? Well, maybe. This is just a theory. In fact, other investigators kind of called bullshit on this theory because they believed it would be impossible for the tub to have leaked out that much water in 10 days for something that was barely running in the first place. But post-crime scene strange tub details aside, perhaps the answer is now fairly clear. Carbon monoxide was leaking into the old apartment. Fernandez felt sick, called a doctor who told her to take a bath, did take a bath, and Giron went in to help her, and the two of them succumbed together to carbon monoxide poisoning. But there are so many questions and so many details that still don't make sense, at least to me. First, why were they sitting in the tub like that? If someone was helping someone, if Fernandez had been poisoned first and then Giron was later, they were kind of sitting together. And why were they naked sitting together also? Also, does carbon monoxide kill people that quickly? It was a leak, and a leak that people didn't notice outside of the apartment complex until later. Another detail was that Fernandez was told to take Motin, the pills that she was prescribed by Dr. Bresciani on Thursday afternoon, and the pills she was supposed to take every 6 hours. And since just two were missing, this is an important detail that I was kind of saving till later, we can presume that the two were already dead by Friday. But weirdly enough, the final autopsy found no traces of Motin in her system. So that's another thing that feels very inconsistent. And again, just the smell of decay, how people smell it, how would they have smelled it that far in advance, or maybe it was soon. I don't know much about decay. Do you have any thoughts and theories, anything that doesn't ring true in your brain?
I feel like there's so many things happening that kind of answer it, and there's some things where like it doesn't make any sense. Like something else interfered with this in some way.
Yeah. I think for me, police activity seemed highly suspicious, but also, you know, as I like look through it, I'm like, oh, you know, it would be very interesting if they were killed by a snake in a conspiracy with her married boyfriend. But I'm also like, okay, I do understand in my head that maybe if they were both getting slowly poisoned by carbon monoxide, maybe one got into the bath naked and they were cousins. They were comfortable with each other. And the other one kind of like put the bottom half of their body and was like taking off their sweater to get in. And suddenly they both died, or one of them lost consciousness and then the other one died. I suppose that timeline would be somewhat okay. But again, it's not okay with everyone. There's lots of sleuths online that are really obsessed with this mystery. It's one of the partially unsolved mysteries in Buenos Aires that people talk about consistently to this day. It is only partially, and for me, infuriatingly unsolved.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.